الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي من على المؤمنين بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى أهل بيته وأزواجه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, soul had departed from his body, the most exquisite fragrance could be perceived emanating from his Mubarak and blessed body. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha covered his blessed body with a cloth. Thereafter, Sayyiduna Umar and Sayyiduna Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhuma sought permission to enter. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha gave them permission and she donned her hijab. She covered herself before they entered the room. Again, another very important lesson about the importance of a woman covering herself in the presence of strangers. Imagine what Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha must have been going through at that moment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just passed away at that time. So dear, so close to him. And now there were two strangers that were entering the room. However, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha did not neglect her dini obligation of covering herself in the presence of a stranger. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an saw the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Umar radiallahu an thought that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unconscious. And he says, oh, the unconsciousness, meaning such deep unconsciousness and severe unconsciousness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going through. Thereafter, both of them left the room. As they came to the door, Sayyidina Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu an said to Umar radiallahu an, O Umar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. However, due to grief, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an could not accept the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, and he exclaimed, saying to Mughira radiallahu an, you are a liar. Rather, you wish to cause mischief. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not pass away until he brings an end to all the munafiqeen, all the hypocrites. Many other sahaba radiallahu anhum as well, due to the extreme attachment that they had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they found it to be very difficult to accept the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left this world. At the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an was gone to his wife who lived at the outskirts of Medina Munawwara, or the upper portion of Medina Munawwara, which is known as Awali. He had one of his wives that was living in that area. He sought permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam before going, and he went to visit that wife of his. When he heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed away, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an came back. He passed through the masjid without speaking to anyone. And he went directly into the home of his daughter Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. When he entered, he went to the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He raised the cloth from the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he realized that indeed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. Hence he exclaimed, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Mata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. Then Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an approached the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the head side. He lowered his head and he kissed the forehead, Mubarak forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Wa Nabi Ya, O my Nabi. Then he raised his head and for the second time he lowered his head and he kissed the Mubarak forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Wa Safiya, O my sincere friend. And then he raised his head up again, and for a third time, he kissed the Mubarak forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, Wa Khalilah, O my bosom friend. Thereafter, he says, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي طِبْتَ حَيًّا وَمَيِّتًا. May my father and mother be sacrificed for you. You were pure while you were living, and you are also so pure when you have left this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not cause you to experience death twice. The death that was ordained and written for you, you have already experienced it. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes to the masjid. Many sahaba radiallahu anhu had already gathered around Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was insisting that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not passed away. Rather, in one narration he mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has summoned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he had summoned Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam for 40 nights. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gone to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He went to this extent to say that if anyone says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, I will amputate his hands and his feet. This was the extreme grief that Umar radiallahu anhu was going through at that time. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes to the masjid and he says to Umar radiallahu anhu, sit, O Umar. However, Umar radiallahu anhu refused to sit due to the intense grief that he was going through. Umar Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, seeing what's going on, he went towards the minbar. And when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum saw him, they all gathered around him. And at that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was supposed to be the most affected because of him enjoying the closest relationship to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. However, in this time of turmoil and confusion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept him absolutely calm and composed, which was obviously a clear sign that he was the one who was going to take charge after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So despite him being the most affected, however, he was absolutely composed. He ascends the minbar and he addresses the Sahaba radiallahu anhum saying, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ. That if any one of you was worshipping Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then let him know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was definitely the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were definitely very, very close to him, and we would sacrifice anything for him. However, we were not worshipping Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you were worshipping Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then remember, the object of your worship has left this world. However, وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. And whoever was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the case, that we are all worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah is ever living, Allah will not pass away. So our allegiance and our loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still needs to continue, even after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left this world. On this point, a lesson that we can take with the coming of the end of the month of Ramadan, that we can say to ourselves that man kana minkum ya'budu Ramadan fa inna Ramadan qad mada. If our loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to deen was only because of the month of Ramadan, then we should know that the month of Ramadan will go. However, our allegiance is not to the month of Ramadan. Our allegiance is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was there in the month of Ramadan, who we are worshipping in the month of Ramadan, that Allah will continue after the month of Ramadan as well, that Allah is ever living and His commands will continue after Ramadan, that salah that we were performing in the month of Ramadan, that salah is still fard after the month of Ramadan. And similarly, all the other obligations of deen still continue after the month of Ramadan. Thereafter, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu recited the ayat of the Qur'an Majeed, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولِ. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is but a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many messengers have passed before him. أَفَإِمْ مَاتَ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. If he has to pass away, or if he is made shaheed, will you turn on your heels? وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. The one who turns back and turns on his heels, he will never cause any harm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayat was revealed on the occasion of Uhud, when the rumor was spread that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had become shaheed. And sahaba lost heart at that time. This ayat was revealed, again explaining the point that your allegiance is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala primarily. Hence, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves this world, you should not turn on your feet. Although the sahaba radiallahu anhum heard this ayat many times, they were aware of this ayat. However, when Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu recited this ayat on this time, on this occasion. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu say, it was as if this was the first time that we were listening to this ayat. Because this ayat was so clear. It had such an apt and a relevant message to us. The contents of this ayat and message of the ayat 100% fitted us at this occasion. So although we heard the ayat before, but because of its relevance, it was as if this was the first time that we heard this ayat, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu therefore accepted the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu says, by Allah, as soon as I heard Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu recite this verse, he says, I was shocked to such an extent that my legs could not even carry me, and I fell to the ground. So this was the unique manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given composure to Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and allowed him to take control of the situation and to give direction to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum at this time when all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were so affected and they did not know what was going on. This was the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him the composure. As we mentioned, this was a clear sign that he was the man who was going to take charge after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, was also a cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyiduna Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu intended to give the ghusl to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they consulted among themselves, asking that, do we remove the clothes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as we remove the clothes of other people who pass away, obviously besides the satr area? Do we remove the clothes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like others, or do we give ghusl to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his clothes on? While they were deliberating the matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused sleep to overcome them. And in this state of slumber and sleep, they heard an unknown person calling out from the side of the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ghusl with his clothes on. So they gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ghusl with his clothes on, his upper garment and lower garment were on, and they poured the water over the garments of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they rubbed his Mubarak body with his own clothes and not with their bare hands. The janaza salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum before, towards the beginning of his illness, we had mentioned that Sahaba radiallahu anhum on one occasion came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they asked him certain questions about the procedure that needs to be followed after his demise. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them the procedure of his janaza salah. So the procedure of the janaza salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was this, that small groups of Sahaba would come into the home of Aisha radiallahu anha, and no one was the imam. Everyone individually would perform and offer the janaza salah over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this way, small groups came in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's body was enshrouded, and Sayyiduna Abu Bakr and Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhuma entered the room, making salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What a difficult moment it must have been for these two sahaba radiallahu anhum, that throughout their life they made salam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and now they have to make salam, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Whenever they made salam, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was before them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, answering to their salam, and now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak body was lying there, and his soul had departed from the world. So they formed rows to perform the janaza salah. There was no imam. And in the front row, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu stood, and the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu stood behind them, and they made dua, and the other Sahaba radiallahu anhu said Ameen. The dua they made was, O Allah, we bear witness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had conveyed that which was revealed to him. He had given good counsel and good advice to the ummah. He strove in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until Allah had strengthened his deen and his word was complete. O Allah, make us from amongst those who follow that which was revealed unto him. And O Allah, unite us with him until he recognizes us and we recognize him. For indeed, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was most merciful to the believers. We will not seek anything in lieu of our iman. La nabtaghi bil imani badala. We will not seek anything in lieu of our iman. Meaning we will remain committed on this way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا نَشْتَرِي بِهِ ثَمَنًا أَبَدًا. And we will never sell this iman of ours for any price. So they make this dua and they leave. Now the discussion was where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be buried. So some sahaba radiallahu anhum suggested that he should be buried in his masjid. Whilst others suggested that he should be buried in Jannatul Baqi with the other Muslims in the graveyard of Madinah Munawwara. However, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said that I had heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that a Nabi does not pass away except that he is buried in the place where he passed away. So the sunnat and the way of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is the exactly same spot on which they passed away. That is the place where the qabr will be dug and they will be buried at that spot. So the sahaba radiallahu anhum lifted up the bed on which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was lying and they moved it away and then the grave was dug. Now there were two ways of digging a grave. There are two ways depending on the soil and the area. One is the shiq grave, which was the grave of the people of Makkah Mukarramah. They would dig the grave in that way, and this grave would be dug in such a way that there would be a niche that is dug in the center of the grave. In the center of the grave at the bottom, there's a niche dug, and the deceased is placed in that niche, and thereafter that niche is covered with unbaked bricks or with timber. So Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, being a muhajir, he would dig the qabr in this way, according to the way that the people of Makkah Mukarramah would dig their graves. And the people of Medina Munawwara, because of their soil conditions, etc., they would dig a lahad grave. A lahad grave is where the niche is in the qibla wall. The niche is in the qibla wall of the grave, that wall which is facing towards the qibla, and then there's a recess that's made there, and the body is thereafter, the deceased is placed into that recess, and then that area is covered. So Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu an, or Abu Talha radiallahu an, being from the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara, he would dig this kind of grave. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were not sure which grave they should dig for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they send messengers to both the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, inviting both of them to come. And they said, whoever comes first, then that will be the qabr that will be dug for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The messenger that went to Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he could not find him at that time. So Sayyiduna Abu Talha radiallahu anhu came, and the grave which was normally dug for the people of Madinah Munawwara, the Lahad grave, this was dug for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried on Wednesday night. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away on Monday morning, Monday midday. And he was only buried on Wednesday night. Obviously the delay was not a deliberate delay. Rather it was because of all the important procedures that needed to be adopted. And it was the first time that sahaba radiallahu anhum were going through all of this. Therefore, there was a delay in the necessary procedures in terms of the ghusl, the kafan, the janazah salah, and few other important procedures that needed to be taken care to, that needed to be seen to. For example, appointing of the khalifa, etc. All these necessary procedures needed to be adopted and needed to be fulfilled. Therefore, there was a delay in the burial of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Four sahaba radiallahu anhum entered the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and lowered his blessed body. It was Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu an, Sayyiduna Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu an, and his brother Sayyiduna Qutham bin Abbas radiallahu an, the three cousins of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the freed slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Shakran radiallahu an. As was mentioned previously, that Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha was the only living child of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the pain that she went through was indeed very, very severe. In fact, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was severely ill and she saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experiencing pain, then Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha exclaimed, "Wa karba abah, oh the pain of my father." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoled her and mentioned to her, "Laysa ala abiki karbun ba'da al-yawm." After today, there will be no difficulty on your father. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to her, "Innahu qad hadara min abiki ma laysa bitarikim minhu ahada." That such a thing has come to your father, which will leave no person. Meaning death is such a thing that will come to every person. And your father is also going through this. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, being very, very affected, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha exclaims, Ya Abatah, Ajaba Rabban Da'ah, O my beloved father, he has answered the call of his Rabb who summoned him. Ya Abatah, Man Jannatul Firdausi Ma'wa, O my beloved father, whose abode is Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Abatah, Ila Jibreel An'ah, O my beloved father, we inform Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam of his death. Meaning, when a person normally passes away, then his friends are given the news of his death. The friends are informed that now the person has passed away. His friend was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So we are informing Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam of his death. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was buried, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha was so affected and so overcome by grief and emotions at that time. So she says to Anas radiallahu anha that, O Anas, atabat anfusukum أن تحثوا على رسول الله التراب. O Anas, did you feel, how did your hearts manage? And how were you pleased? How were your hearts pleased to pour sand over the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How could you even put sand over the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Obviously, it was not easy for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to do this, and they also were very affected. But out of consideration for Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, Anas radiallahu anha did not reply to this question of Fatima radiallahu anha, understanding that she was emotional at that time. However, the point is that despite being emotional, despite being affected, Sahaba radiallahu anhum left their emotions one side, and they understood that this was a dini obligation. The dini obligation is to bury the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although it would be very difficult for us to pour sand over Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, however, being a dini obligation, we have to fulfill this obligation, this dini obligation. After the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard a voice which could not be seen, and it was angels that were saying to them, consoling them, "Assalamu alaykum ahlal bayt wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna fillahi azaan min kulli musiba." That indeed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is consolation from every difficulty. Wa khalafan min kulli fa'it, and recompense from every loss. فَبِاللَّهِ فَثِقُوا وَإِيَّاهُ فَرْجُوا فَإِنَّمَا الْمَحْرُومُ مَنْ حُرِمَ الثَّوَابُ. So hold on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Place your hopes only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, the person who is truly bereaved is that person who is deprived of reward. He is not patient at time of difficulty, and he is deprived of the reward. Similarly, Sayyiduna Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam, famously, we know him as Khizr alayhi salam. He had also come, and he had also given consolation to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum at that occasion. Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu an, explaining the effect that the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had on their hearts. He says, on the day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered Medina Munawwara, adaa minha kullu shay. Everything of Medina became bright and illuminated. Everything of Medina became bright and illuminated. And he says, the day that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away from this world, adlama minha kullu shay. Everything in Medina became dark. We still feel Medina Munawwara to be so illuminated and so bright and so radiant. Imagine what the rangers must have been in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu anhu is saying that the day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left Medina Munawwara and he passed away, Medina became dark. And he goes on to say, وَمَا نَفَضْنَا أَيْدِيَنَا مِنْ دَفْنِهِ حَتَّى أَنْكَرْنَا قُلُوبَنَا. He says that we had barely dusted our hands from burying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when we already found a change in the conditions of our hearts. What he means, na'udhu billah, doesn't mean that they had left the fold of Islam. What he means, that clarity and that purity of hearts, which we enjoyed, being in the direct suhbah and company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to which there is no replacement. There is no replacement to the suhbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, because we were no more in the direct company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we did not find that level of iman and that clarity and that level of purity in our hearts. Obviously, we could not find that after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to practice on these parting advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and bless us with true love for the esteemed personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which would be translated into following his pure and perfect way of life. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa mulana Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ja'al nabiyyana lana farata wa hawdahu lana mawrida. O Allah, allow our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be a predecessor for us and one who a forerunner for us. Wa hawdahu lana mawrida. And O Allah, allow us to drink from his hawd and from his pond of Kawthar on the day of Qiyamah. Allahumma ahshurna fi zumrati. O Allah, resurrect us in the jamaat and in the group of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wasta'milna bi sunnati. And O Allah, allow us to practice on his sunnah throughout our life. Watawaffana ala millati. O Allah, allow us to pass away on the way and the creed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Waj'alna fi zumratihi wa hizbi. And O Allah, on the day of Qiyamah and in Jannah, O Allah, allow us to be part of the group of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa mulana Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahluh.